This article will be studied during the week of December 14th through 20th. Treasure your share in modern-day miracles. Theme text, By this all will know that you are my disciples. John 13:35. Song 143, Keep working, watching, and waiting. Focus, To help us appreciate our privilege of sharing in three modern-day miracles.
Paragraphs 1 and 2, Question A. What are some miracles that are recorded in the Bible? Question B. What is a miracle, and what part can we play?
Imagine how thrilling it would have been to stand on the shore of the Red Sea and watch as Jehovah divided its waters, providing his people with a path of escape from the Egyptian army. And just think of the joy you would have had to see Jesus cure the sick and even raise the dead. These are just some of the miracles recorded in the Bible. Any righteous-hearted person who witnessed such miracles would have had no doubt that God was behind those events. But those amazing events occurred a long time ago. Are miracles happening today? Yes. Why can we say that? A miracle can be defined as something that is beyond the ability of man to accomplish or even to understand fully. It is something that Jehovah brings about by His power. In this article, we will examine three miracles that Jehovah is accomplishing within His organization today. We can call them miracles because only Jehovah is able to cause them to happen. In each case, we will see how we can be fellow workers with Jehovah as He performs these miracles.
1 Corinthians 3:9 reads,
For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field under cultivation, God's building.
Miraculous growth.
Paragraph 3. Question. Why can it be said that Jehovah's people have become a mighty nation?
Long ago, the prophet Isaiah foretold the increase that God's servants would experience in our day.
Isaiah 60:22 reads,
The little one will become a thousand, and the small one a mighty nation. I myself, Jehovah, will speed it up in its own time.
Has that prophecy been fulfilled? Consider, in 1914, those serving Jehovah were about 5,000. But since that year, the small one has grown to over 9 million kingdom evangelizers. That number is larger than the population of more than 130 countries. Never before have so many individuals come to know and love Jehovah. And they can be found in 240 lands around the globe. While Jehovah's people are still a minority compared with other religious groups, there can be no denying that the growth foretold in God's Word has occurred. The small one has indeed become a mighty nation.
The picture collage for paragraph 3 shows a graph with images illustrating the growth in the number of Jehovah's Witnesses from about 5,000 in 1914 to over 9 million in 2026. In 1914, brothers and sisters stand outside a venue where the photodrama of creation is being shown. A packed crowd of people at an international convention watch an episode of The Good News According to Jesus. A brother and a sister participate in cart witnessing. A sister gets baptized. A diverse group of sisters smile for a photo at the 2017 Don't Give Up convention. The picture caption reads, Since 1914, Jehovah's worshipers have experienced miraculous growth. Paragraph 4. Question. Why is this growth in numbers significant?
Unlike many other religious organizations, we do not inflate our numbers by means of infant baptism. Neither have we increased our numbers by relaxing our adherence to God's moral standards. On the contrary, We have studied the Bible and then brought our life into harmony with its teachings. For many of us, that meant making significant changes in our thinking and in our conduct. After making such changes, we qualified as Kingdom publishers and began inviting others to join us in true worship. In time, we dedicated ourselves to Jehovah, promising to do His will, come what may, and we got baptized.
Paragraph 5. Question. What did Jesus tell His followers to expect?
Our growth is miraculous because it is only possible with Jehovah's backing. Jesus indicated that it would not be easy to become His disciple. He said, "If anyone wants to come after me, let him disown himself and pick up his torture stake and keep following me." Matthew 16:24. This means that His followers would have to be willing to suffer or even die for their faith in Jesus. For example, Jesus foretold that His followers would stand trial before governors and kings. He also warned of opposition from powerful religious authorities. Jesus said that in some cases, pure worship would cause division even within families.
Paragraph 6. Question. Why could opposers not overthrow the first century Christians?
True to Jesus' words, Christians in the first century experienced severe opposition. Shortly after Jesus returned to heaven, Jewish religious leaders tried to stop the work of His disciples. The apostles were arrested and brought before the Sanhedrin, the Jewish high court. Those religious leaders wanted to do away with the apostles. However, a Pharisee named Gamaliel cautioned them, "Do not meddle with these men, but let them alone. For if this scheme or this work is from men, it will be overthrown. But if it is from God, you will not be able to overthrow them. Otherwise, you may even be found fighters against God Himself." Acts 5:33-34 and verses 38-39. Gamaliel may not have realized how true his words were. After the apostles were released, the religious leaders continued to fight against them. But those faithful disciples could not be overthrown. Instead, Christianity flourished. The reason? God was helping His people endure and grow despite the opposition.
Paragraph 7. Question. How are Jesus' disciples today following the example of the first century Christians?
Today, thousands are flocking to the truth even though they are being rejected, disowned, or persecuted by family members, workmates, and others. Why do these new disciples choose to pick up their torture stake? Matthew 16:24. They do so because they love Jehovah and trust in His promise to care for them. In return, Jehovah gives them the power beyond what is normal to endure. 2 Corinthians 4:7-9. If they face opposition from family members, they share the sentiments of the psalmist who said, "Even if my own father and mother abandon me, Jehovah Himself will take me in." Psalm 27:10. The fact that so many become disciples of Jesus despite the hardship involved is nothing short of miraculous.
The following is supplementary information. Growth despite persecution. Jehovah's Witnesses experienced miraculous growth during World War II, despite being persecuted. One Nazi officer commented, "The more you persecute the witnesses, the more they grow." Consider what happened in the Netherlands during that period. The 1986 yearbook reported, "Despite arrests, imprisonments, deportations to concentration camps, and death at the hand of the enemy, the number of Kingdom publishers increased by 115% in 2 years, reaching a new high of 1,379 in 1943. Jehovah was blessing His servants with growth, even under the most trying circumstances. Returning to the article, Paragraph 8 question. What share do we have in the miracle of growth?
Each time we engage in any form of the ministry, we are working alongside Jehovah and Jesus in the miracle of growth. We have their support. Jesus gives us the assurance, I am with you all the days until the conclusion of the system of things. Matthew 28:20. Furthermore, we are assisted by the angels as we preach. Miraculous unity.
Paragraphs 9 and 10 question. How is Micah 2:12 being fulfilled today?
The prophet Micah foretold another miracle we see in our time, the remarkable unity of God's people. Under inspiration, Micah described men and women whom Jehovah would gather and who would dwell together in unity.
Micah 2:12 reads,
I will certainly gather all of you, O Jacob. I will surely collect the remaining ones of Israel together. In unity I will place them, like sheep in the pen, like a flock in its pasture. It will be noisy with people.
In fulfillment of that prophecy, God's people today live in harmony, despite any differences they may have in personality or background. They agree with the psalmist David, who wrote, Look, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. Psalm 133:1. Today, our unity is evident in many ways. For example, wherever we live, we share the same spiritual program at meetings, assemblies, and conventions. Witnesses from different backgrounds and nationalities work side by side on building projects and in Bethel facilities across the globe. Our bond is close. We are not divided by culture, economic status, or political beliefs. Think about it. Our loving family is there for us wherever we go, ready to offer spiritual and practical help. Never before in history have so many people from so many lands and cultures been united in thought and in conduct.
Paragraph 11 question. Why can our unity be called a miracle?
Our unity is miraculous because it is in striking contrast to the world's widespread disunity. Across the globe, people are deeply divided. The news is filled with reports about fights, riots, protests, rebellions, and wars, painting a grim picture of division and strife. As foretold in the Bible, people are disloyal, not open to any agreement, slanderers, without self-control, fierce, without love of goodness, betrayers, headstrong, puffed up with pride. 2 Timothy 3:2-4. Despite the fact that the whole world is lying in the power of the wicked one and his demons, we continue to thrive as a united people. 1 John 5:19. Truly, that is miraculous.
Paragraph 12 question. How can we contribute to the bond of unity among God's people?
We can contribute to the bond of unity in Jehovah's organization. How? By carefully listening to and applying what Jehovah teaches us. The teachings of His Word help us to show patience, to extend forgiveness, to avoid arguments, and to be kind to others. Each time we overlook a flaw in a fellow believer, each time we control the urge to gossip, and each time we extend forgiveness, we are working along with Jehovah as He accomplishes a modern-day miracle within His organization. Miraculous love.
Paragraph 13 question. In what ways did first-century Christians show love for one another?
Jesus said that His followers would be identified by their love for one another.
John 13:35 reads,
By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love among yourselves."
Such love was central in the lives of first-century Christians. For example, they shared their belongings with those in need. They supported those who were persecuted. They cared for orphans and widows. And despite their own poverty, they sent relief aid to other Christians. Second-century writer Tertullian quoted what others said about the early Christians: "See how they love one another, and how they are ready even to die for one another."
Paragraph 14 question. In what ways do God's people show love today?
Like first-century Christians, God's people today have strong love for one another. We extend our love even to those outside the congregation through our preaching work. To support that work, we contribute financially. No one begs or coerces us to do so, nor are we required to tithe. Love also moves us to help our brothers and sisters in times of need. In addition to providing material support, we support one another spiritually and emotionally. This is in harmony with the Apostle Paul's admonition: "Speak consolingly to those who are depressed, support the weak, be patient toward all." 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Jehovah has brought us into a worldwide family of brothers and sisters who show genuine love for one another and for neighbor.
The picture collage for paragraph 14 shows brothers and sisters showing love. In the door-to-door ministry, a couple offer a Watchtower magazine to a householder. A father helps his son put money into a contribution box at the Kingdom Hall. A brother gives a case of bottled water to a sister in need. The picture caption reads, "God's people show genuine love for neighbor and for one another." Paragraph 15 question. Why can our love for one another be called a miracle?
The love shown by God's people is a miracle because it thrives in a selfish world. The Apostle Paul wrote that in our day, people would be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, and lovers of pleasures. They would not love God, and they would have no natural affection, not even for their own family. 2 Timothy 3:2-4. Jesus foretold that people would betray one another and hate one another. He added that the love of the greater number would grow cold. Matthew 24:10-12. Have you not found this to be true as you observe the state of this world? The love that thrives among Jehovah's people is a result of His power. Truly, a modern-day miracle.
Paragraph 16 question. In what ways can we show love to one another?
We show love when we sincerely express appreciation to others for their good example and when we work to maintain peace with them. By consistently demonstrating love in both words and actions, we reflect the quality that identifies God's people. By showing love, we are indeed working along with Jehovah as He accomplishes a modern-day miracle within His organization. Treasure your share.
Paragraph 17 question. What proves to you that Jehovah is performing miracles today?
The growth, unity, and love that we experience in our organization prove that Jehovah is performing miracles in our time. In the face of widespread opposition, our numbers have increased. In a world that is splintered on many levels, we are united. And though we live in a loveless world, our love for God and for one another identifies us as true disciples of Christ. We are not passive bystanders. We are God's fellow workers. 1 Corinthians 3:9.
Paragraph 18 question. In view of the miraculous work that Jehovah is doing, what determination should we have?
Who would have thought that there would be a time when people from all lands of the earth would enjoy growth, unity and love in such a troubled world. Yet that is exactly what we see today. These miraculous achievements strengthen our confidence in the fulfillment of all that Jehovah has promised for the future. Always treasure your privilege to have a share in God's modern-day miracles. How can we contribute to the miracle of growth, unity, love? Song 154, Unfailing Love. End of article.